Okay. Today is our last day in Joel, and this final passage really has a lot of connections that are really, really incredible. I knew this before we got to this point, that Joel leads you to these other places. And I wanted to bring that up. Let me pray. Oh, great God, who is like you? We could search all of the heavens and never find anyone like you. You are unique. You're pure, unblemished, unmixed holiness. We are sinners. You laid aside eternal glory to be joined with us, to be joined with liars and murderers and adulterers, even as we were outside of you. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son into the world to save us sinners, and we were indeed sinners. You sent Jesus, and then you sent your precious Holy Spirit to direct our paths and to bring about the same holiness that you possess within yourself. Oh, that we would be made holy. You know how easily we are distracted and tempted. You know how quickly we are lured away by our own desires. But this morning we pray that you would give us the desire to remain steadfast and unmoved under trials, that we might with great joy stand firm in the faith that has been delivered to us, that let this steadfastness lead to our perfection. I pray that as we endure, you would help us to consider Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured death and the eternal weight of all sin. We praise his holy name. Why should we be the only recipients of your mercy this morning? Won't you save many other souls? Bring life where there is death. Bring hope where there is fear. Bring freedom where there is bondage. Bring the sweet aroma of life where there is just the disgusting stench of death. Heavenly Father, one may plant and another water, but you give the increase. Give grace to the Christians that you've called to go do that work of spreading your word. Heavenly Father, our hope is in you. Open our eyes, open our hearts and our minds so that your word might fill us. Give grace to the message. And let the deliverer be small and of no consequence, that all we might see is Jesus, even as you make us into his image. Amen. So if any of you have tried to turn on the TV in the last couple of days, you've probably been completely flooded with all this 50th anniversary stuff about the moon. I'm going to tell you a short story about three guys. Christmas Eve, 1968. These three guys were a long, long ways from home. One of them was a complete novice. Had no idea. His name was Bill Anders. The other two guys were the old hands. They'd been at this a while. Their names were Jim Lovell and Frank Borman. One was a Navy guy, one was a ex-Air Force. And they were crammed together in a little tiny, it's like a walk-in closet. And they were stuck there for a week and a half together in this walk-in closet. The crazy thing was, 4 months prior, no one thought that they would ever be at this place. And they got told that on Christmas Eve, that they were going to the moon. And they're the first ones to ever do it. I can only imagine what was going through Bill Anders' mind. He was the complete rookie. He had no idea. I imagine he's asking himself, is this normal? It wasn't normal at all. They got told to say something appropriate on Christmas Eve. They didn't get told what was appropriate or what wasn't. That was the only instruction. Painfully aware that they worked for the United States government, they knew that there were some pretty strong boundaries on what they could and couldn't say. But being the military guys that they sort of are, they decided to stick their finger in other people's eye. And they decided to read something. I'm going to read you exactly what they said. If you want to read along with me, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there were evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the above expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place and let dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And that's where these three guys stopped. And it was the end of their TV telecast, and Frank Borman, the commander of the mission, said, "And so we want to say good night. Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth." And that was the way he closed their television broadcast. And I just remember we were watching CBS, Walter Cronkite. And Walter Cronkite was just so blown away. He had to take off his glasses. He was crying, actually. He had to wipe the tears from under his eyes. If you find the video for this, you need to go see it. It's amazing. Walter Cronkite knew the significance of what they were saying. And the whole time they're saying this, all they've got is they've got the TV camera pointed out the window, and the craters of the moon are going by. I was a kid, and I was watching this live. Blew me away, just blew me away. That passage came to me while we were talking about this message today. Joel calls some of the same imagery in his final passage here. We're in Joel 3. We're going to read from verse 17 to the very end of the book, verse 21. So verse 17. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God who dwells in Zion, my holy mountain. And Jerusalem shall be holy, and strangers shall never again pass through it. One of the references at this point says to go look up one verse in Psalm 46. I couldn't do it. I got to read you all of Psalm 46. Psalm 46, 1 through 11. And if these words sound familiar, they should. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved to the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We have the words for this psalm. Obviously, it was written for music. What was the music? The incredible thing is, we don't have the music. In this life, we do not have the music. I hope someday I get to go ask David to sing this for me so I can hear the music that goes with these words. Of course, it'll be in Hebrew, so it won't make any sense to me. It also refers to a passage in Isaiah, Isaiah 8. Actually, there's two passages in Isaiah. And once again, I just could not give you just the one verse. There's a context to each of these. So Isaiah 8, 1 through 18. Then the Lord said to me, take a large tablet and write on it in common characters, belonging to Mahershalah Hashbaz. And I will get a reliable witness, Uriah the priest, and Zechariah the son of Jerechiah, to attest for me. And I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name Mahershalah Hashbaz. For the boy knows how to cry, my father or my mother. The wealth of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria. The Lord spoke to me again. Because this people has refused the waters of Shiloah that flow gently and rejoice over Rezin and the son of Remaliah, therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria in all his glory. And it will rise over its channels and go over all its banks, and it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck, and its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Be broken, you peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all you far countries, strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak a word, it will not stand. God is with us. For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the way of his people, this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense, and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and portents in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. This is the piece where God withholds himself from the Jews, but not to those who follow him, who trust in him. Now, the last passage in Isaiah is out of Isaiah 52, and it butts up against this beautiful, incredible second passage that I just could not overlook. So the passage I was supposed to read is from Isaiah 52, 1 to 12. But I don't stop there. I read the rest of 52. Let me read it to you. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall come no more to you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first to Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now therefore what I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing, their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all day my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. You shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up. He shall be exalted. Many of you were astonished. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told by them, they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand. It goes on into chapter 53. Who has believed what they have heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no former majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and a sheep that is before its shearers silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for transgression of my people? And they made his grave in the wicked with a rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. That passage, by the way, that last part, was written by Isaiah 760 years before Jesus. Isaiah wrote that down 760 years before Christ. And yet so clearly, it's talking about Jesus. And it opens with that same passage that comes out of Joel right here. Joel is talking about the mountain, and Jerusalem shall be holy. There's two short passages out of Zechariah. Zechariah 2:10-12. Zechariah 2:10-12. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come, and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. Many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day, and shall be made my people. And I will dwell in your midst, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And the Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Zechariah 8:3. I'm reading from 1 through 8 here. 8:3 is in the middle. And the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion and with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion, will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of the people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness. God's going to connect us all. We are Israel. And many of the Jews who don't believe in Jesus will not be granted entrance to the kingdom. Revelations 21:3-4. This is that same passage that Jim read for us just a little bit ago. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." You wouldn't think it could get any better than this, right? Wait for it. Joel 3:18, the very next verse. "And in that day the mountains shall drip sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the stream beds of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord, and water the valley of Shittim." Deuteronomy. There's a reference here. By the way, when it says drip sweet wine is also new wine. It's the same word in Hebrew. It has the same context. So Deuteronomy 32:14. "Curds from the herd and milk from the flock, with fat of lambs, rams of Bashan and goats, with the very finest of the wheat, and you drank foaming wine made from the blood of the grape." That's a specific word in Hebrew. It's hemer, H-E-M-E-R, and it's translated as the blood of the grape. Here in a little bit, we're going to celebrate the blood of the grape. And that word for sweet wine or new wine is asis, A-S-I-S in English. I couldn't resist. I had to bring both of these passages right here just so you could hear them. This is Mark 14:25. "And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" That was Mark 14:25. Luke 22:18. "And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, after they had eaten, he said, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" Joel is talking about this stuff 840 years before Jesus. And then Mark and Luke are talking about it once again. Joel 3:19. "Egypt shall become a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, for the violence done to the people of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land." There are two references in Kings. 1 Kings 14:25-27. 1 Kings 14:25-27. "In the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and all the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the shields of gold that Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam had made in their place shields of bronze and committed them to the hands of the officers of the guard who kept the door of the king's house. Second Kings 29 and 30. Second Kings 23, 29 and 30. In his days, Pharaoh, Necho, king of Egypt, went up to the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. King Josiah went to meet them, and Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo as soon as he saw him. And his servants carried him dead in a chariot from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own tomb. And the people of land took Jehoaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's place. This is the way that Assyria and Egypt have treated Israel. Obadiah 1, 2, and 9 through 15. Obadiah 1, 2, and 9 through 15. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up, let us rise against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. And then skip down to verse 9. And your mighty men shall be dismayed, O Teman, so that every man from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter. Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates, and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. But do not gloat over the day of your brother in the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return to your own head. The nations who have not treated Israel well will not be treated well by God. Joel closes with two verses, and both of these point to passages in Revelations. So Joel 3, 20 and 21. But Judah shall be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem to all generations. I will avenge their blood, blood I have not avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. John wrote Revelations. There's a fascinating thing about John. He is literally the last man standing. The entire Bible closes out at the death of John. The canon of Scripture closes with John. John is an old man, probably about 90 years old, and he's dictating to these teenage boys who are his scribes. I'm imagining that he's sitting in an apartment in what is modern-day Turkey somewhere, and he has these perhaps 10 or 12 young boys who are all writing down what he's saying. And it comes to us as the book of Revelations. And I think about John as a teenage boy. When Jesus is walking through Judea, and John is running through the hills, chasing after Jesus and the other disciples. And now the tables have turned, and it's John telling the stories to the young boys about what it was like to be with Jesus. And he's also repeating a dream that God had given him. Revelations 21, 5 to 27. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have his heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, its radiance was like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall... And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies foursquare, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia, and the length and the width and the height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chryophase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need for the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Near the end of this passage, John talks about a river. This passage begins with a river coming from Jerusalem in Joel. And here at the end of Revelation, John talks about a river. We talked about the river in Genesis. The river with the tree of life. This is near the end of Revelation. So Moses writes Genesis. John writes Revelation. This is Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the last chapter in Revelation. John closes out the Bible with this. Joel talks about this. Joel looks forward to this day. Joel knows what it looks like. John knows what it looks like. Moses knows what it looks like. This is one of the most inspiring passages in all of the Bible. And Joel, this little-known prophet, we don't even know where he's from, what town he's from. We know so little about Joel. And he talks about this, and it's in the middle of the Bible. It's a theme that gets repeated over and over, and it begins with Moses and it ends with John. That's about a 1,400-year span. 1,400 years from Moses to John. 1,500 years. And here Joel is, almost exactly in the middle of the whole thing. And he talks about the same thing. 2 weeks from today, we're going to launch into 1 Thessalonians. I read 1 Thessalonians this week. I love it. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be fun. I'm hoping Bill takes care of our message next week. I'd like a week off. All right. Let me close in prayer. We'll close the book of Joel. I hope you'll all spend time praying about it. Go back and read some of it. In fact, read the whole thing. It's not that long. See if there are any pieces there that grab you and get your attention. I know there were some great pieces in here that got mine. I love it. Let's pray. Almighty Lord God, all-knowing, omnipotent, great, mighty, and all-powerful, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Heavenly Father, we've spent a lot of time this week thinking about some of the amazing things that people have done. And the really hilarious thing, Lord, is that we have barely even scratched your creation in doing these things. We look back just 50 years and how far it seems. And you are the Lord of the past, of now, and of the future, forever and ever. Even to the day when the second Jerusalem comes down from heaven. We thank you, Lord, for all of this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your people who gathered here today to worship you, to hear your words, for the immense and unfathomable wisdom of your truth. The truth, who is your Son, everywhere here, in all of this. We celebrate your Comforter, your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds. Heavenly Father, bless this time so that we can deeply understand your words, that we can see Jesus. We thank you for Jesus, who was born of Mary, who lived and died in our place. By the faith you give to us to believe in him. Strip everything else away so that we only see Jesus, and that we only see and hear you. In the name of Jesus, amen.